This is the National Broadcasting Company.
WENR, the voice of service in Chicago. WENR now leaves the air in favor of WLS, whose programs follow immediately.
Good evening, everyone. You are now listening to WLS, the voice of Prairie Farmer, America's oldest farm paper, Chicago.
The makers of Johnson's Wax present another polished period of music and merriment with Rico Marcelli's orchestra, Lynn Martin, Audrey Cole, the Johnson Merrymen, and Marion and Jim as those hucksters of hilarity, those heterogeneous horizon hunters, Fibber McGee and Molly. Marcelli and his men start out on a syncopated search. They're going to Page Miss Glory with the Johnson Merrymen singing
just
the vocals.
Just a mite there, Harpo, before you get all tangled up.
My name is Harlow, and will you stop interrupting me?
Yes, I know it. No, I won't. Listen, Harpo, I got a phonograph record here I made of you announcing last week. You want to hear it?
Why, yes, I'd like to hear it.
Okay, put on that there record, Manny.
If you want your car to have a beautiful, gleaming finish which will keep its luster through rain and sun and storm, see your dealer right now for a special introductory offer on Johnson's Auto Cleaner and Johnson's new Auto Wax. Remember the name, Johnson's Auto Cleaner and 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 Johnson's Auto Cleaner
and
Johnson's Auto Cleaner and Johnson's Auto Cleaner and Johnson's Auto Cleaner and Johnson's Auto Cleaner.
Highway 79, where Fibber and Molly are cheerfully chugging past a house with a sign in the window. A sign that says palmistry.
Stop the car, McGee.
What for? Are we anywhere near?
Stop the car, I tell you.
Okay, okay. Gotta get them brakes fixed. What are we stopping for, Molly? Chuck's
I want me fortune told, McGee. In that fortune teller's house there.
Oh, go on with you, Molly. That there stuff is just a lot of baloney.
Well, if you don't believe in it, McGee, you can wait in the car. But don't be asking me later what I found out.
Hey, Molly, wait a minute.
Well, McGee, I thought you thought it was all baloney.
I do, but I thought I'd come along and see how thick they sliced it. How much is it going to cost?
Well, look at the sign, Igornet. Madam Astralo.
Oh, yeah.
Ham's red, horoscopes cast, stars red with the future foretold in love, marriage, and business. 50 cents.
Shucks, she probably don't even know when it's going to rain.
Oh, be quiet, McGee. Don't be always scoffing at what you don't understand. My, I hope this Madam Astralo is home.
She probably told herself she was going on a long journey and had to make good.
Hush, McGee. She's in a trance, she is, maybe.
A trance, huh? I should have sent her a wire and told her to save the last trance for me. Don't you get it, Molly? I said, say.
Ah, it ain't funny, McGee.
Okay.
Good day. And the same to yourself, ma'am. Is Madame Astralo to home?
Madame is conducting a seance at the moment.
See, Molly, she's got seance in her...
McGee!
What was it you wished to see Madame Astralo about?
We wanted to find out the future of the left rear tire on the old bus.
Oh, be quiet, McGee. Sure, ma'am. I wanted me fortune told.
Step in, please. I'm sure Madame will consult the stars in your behalf.
I hope she starts with the Big Dipper. I'm kind of thirsty.
Oh, McGee. Excuse him, ma'am. Tis real ignorant he is about science.
I understand. We are quite familiar with the skeptical attitude. Perhaps we can convince Mr. McGee that the key to the future may be held in human hands.
Oh, shucks, I... Hey, how'd you know my name's McGee?
Will you sit down, please?
My, it's real dark in here. Smell the incense, McGee?
I do. But it don't hide that there corned beef and cabbage perfume.
Madame will see you in just a moment.
Hey, Molly.
What?
How in Tunket did she know my name?
It is one of the minor mysteries, McGee.
What you mean?
Why, I've mentioned it half a dozen times in her hearing, Igornet.
Say, you suppose she...
Quiet, McGee. Here comes Madame Astralo.
Madame Astralo, the seventh daughter of a seventh daughter.
One of the 49ers.
Quiet, McGee.
Madame Astralo, who foretells the past, present, and future, to whom the human mind is an open book. Enter, Madame Astralo. Salam.
I was wrong, Molly. It ain't baloney. It's salami.
Jayla.
Jayla? Who do you think I am, Popeye? Take your veil off, ma'am, and sit down. Build yourself a lap.
Who wishes to consult with Madame Astralo?
Shut that same gal that met us at the door, Molly.
Quiet, McGee. I want me future told, ma'am. Me husband here don't believe in it himself.
Perhaps we can convince him that the hand holds the secret of the past and future. May I see your hand, sir?
You betcha. But remember, that there smudge there ain't no dark woman crossing my path. That's just some cut grease.
Your hand is extremely interesting. I see that you are fated to,
To what?
But you're not interested, sir.
Well, shucks, you started. You might as well get on with it.
If you wish. But you must cross my palm with silver.
Oh, okay. But if it ain't right, I'll cross the street with a copper.
McGee, he'll do nothing of the kind, ma'am. Go on with the fortune.
Here's four bits. Now, what was you saying?
I see by the line of Mars, in conjunction with the base of Saturn, that you've been a wanderer, a traveler. But your journeys are drawing to a close.
Is that so? Well, what's going to happen then?
Sure, we was planning on driving through California and Mexico through the winter, ma'am.
Yeah.
You mean we won't?
It is not written. I see you in a frame building, a home.
Ooh.
There's music, laughter. The house has 8 rooms.
Say, you ain't selling no real estate on the side, are you, sis?
Be still, McGee. Pay no attention to him, Madam Australia.
You have a most remarkable lifeline.
Oh, where's his lifeline?
Here, across the pond, from here to here. He tells me that this man will come into money. Large sums of money.
Dadgadded, Molly, can't you be serious? Well, what's so funny, Molly?
That lifeline, McGee. Sure, that's not his lifeline, ma'am. Mm-hmm. That's where he cut himself opening a can of sardines last summer.
I knew there was something fishy about this here.
Please. The accidents of life leave their marks to guide you in the future. As for the line of Jupiter and Venus, I see a man with dark hair.
You mean a dark man getting in my hair? That's Harpo, Molly.
Now I shall consult my crystal.
Hey, did you ever try Johnson's auto cleaner to polish up that there glass ball, lady? That'd make the future brighter for a lot of folks.
Oh, McGee, be quiet. Fortune telling is a serious business.
Oh, shucks, is that so? Anybody can tell fortunes if they got the right feeling for it.
Are you psychic, sir?
Yes. They used to call me Psychic McGee, the scientific seer of Saratoga.
Oh, why, McGee, they
Let me see your hand of might, ma'am, and I'll show you.
Here it is.
Real interesting mitt, sis. It's an odd-looking ring you got there.
That's an old, old ring.
You're telling me. I can see you as a small girl, kind of a tomboy you was. At the age of 8 years, you had the chicken pox.
Gee, that's wonderful.
McGee, how in the world...
At the age of... Let's see now. At the age of 14, sis, you had a bad fall, and you still got a scar onto the left knee.
Listen, Fibber,
Am
McGee.
I right, sis?
Yeah, you are. Say, tell me, how'd I get this scar?
You got it falling off the handlebars of a bicycle. When you quit high school, you run off and got married to a feller named Hermie Hexmusher. Your initials now is E.H.
Say, who are you?
Shucks, ma'am. You know my name. McGee.
McGee.
Oh, I get it. You're Freckles McGee from Peoria.
Right, Freckles McGee. Class of 1913, Peoria High School. Meet the wife, Lizzie. Molly, this here's little Lizzie Hexmusher. Me and her used to always...
McGee, let go of that woman's hand.
Why, shucks, Molly, you ain't jealous, are you? Why, me and Lizzie
On
here...
your feet, McGee, and let's be going. Pleased to have met you, man.
Well, thank you.
Molly, where'd like...
We've no more time to waste, McGee.
Oh, well, shucks, if it hadn't have been for that class ring you had on, Lizzie, I'd have never... Hey, Molly, wait a minute.
Molly!
Well, it looks as though everybody around here is going psychic. Even little Lynn Martin, our pinpoint prima donna, is going to tell us about every little moment. Lynn Martin.
Every little moment, when I walk, when I talk, when I dream, you're the song, you're the words, you're the theme. Every little moment. Though I love a garden, I could still get a thrill at the zoo. Anywhere, I don't care, give me you. Every little moment. If there were 40 hours a day, I would want 42. Time flies by in the craziest way when I'm looking at you. Every little moment, just as long as my heart has a beat, you're the one that I need to complete. Every little moment. When I walk, when I talk, when I dream, you're the song, you're the word, you're the theme. Every little moment. I could still get a thrill at the zoo. Anywhere, I don't care, give me you. Every little moment. If there were 40 hours a day, I would want 42. Time flies by in the craziest way when I'm looking at you. Every little moment, just as long as my heart has a beat, you're the one that I need to complete. Every hour of the day at 9 or 4 or 7, you're the top, the one I need, you're my idea of heaven. Every little moment.
Every week, hundreds more car owners try Johnson's Auto Cleaner and are amazed at the way it restores original beauty to a car that is dull and faded. Because Johnson's Auto Cleaner is twice as easy to use as the ordinary cleaner. It's entirely new in principle, a creamy white liquid that is quickly rubbed over the surface of your car, dries in a few minutes to a soft powder, and when you wipe off this powder, off comes all the dirt, grime, and dullness in the twinkling of an eye. Behold your car gleaming like new. And further, Johnson's Auto Cleaner positively will not harm the finish. It does its work without the use of harsh abrasives. Try it. You will be amazed at the complete transformation of your car. Now we're going to put in a call for Audrey. Yes, sir, little Audrey calls. Martelli's feature violinist, who will play her own original transcription of When a Gypsy Makes His Violin Cry. I guess the sound effect man has the scenery shifted by this time, so we'll rejoin Fibber and Molly as they stop in a filling station for some gasoline. Here they are talking to the attendant.
How much gas y'all say you want? Fill it up, boy.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Molly. Don't get to that rather hasty. How far is it to Wimperton, bud?
I reckon it's about 97 miles the flow cries.
He means as the fly flows, McGee.
No, he means as the cry flows, don't you, bud?
No, sir. I mean in a straight line, only y'all can't drive in a straight line On account of the road curve for the bad, so maybe you better stick on about 120 miles. Yes.
Oh, 120, eh? Well, in that there case, Bud, you better put in 3 gallons.
3 gallons?
Yep.
Y'all get 40 miles on a gallon?
40? Shucks, Bud, one place down in Caroline, we got 80 miles on a gallon and a half.
Sure. Including coasting down 60-mile hill and 3 pushes and a tow-in.
Hey, Bud, what's that there factory over there?
That one over there?
Yeah.
That little old furniture factory, boss. It ain't running no more down now, though.
Oh, I wonder if that's one of the factories I put out of business.
Oh, now, Maggie, you never...
Are you a furniture man, boss?
You betcha.
Sure. You should see him go to work on a dining room table.
You betcha I'm a furniture man, Bud. Used to have a furniture farm up in Washington State.
Furniture farm?
Yep, furniture farm. Used to raise furniture for the whole state of Washington. Used to call me Woodwork McGee, the Walnut Wizard of Walla Walla.
Woodwork or wouldn't work, McGee?
Just a minute, mister. Y'all say you raise this here furniture?
Yep. You believe it? You see, Bud, I discovered one day that if you carve a walnut into the shape of a chair or a table or something, then plant it under the right conditions, in 4 years' time, you'll have a full-grown chair or table or whatever you carved it into the shape of.
Is that so?
Yes, sir, Bud. I had me a 200,000-acre farm all planted in furniture. I had me a nice crop of piano stools 1 year, so the next year, I plant kitchen cabinets. Crop rotation.
I suppose you planted sash weights to raise windows, McGee.
Nope. And I remember I had me a bad time trying to match walnuts.
Match walnuts?
Yep. You see, I had to get walnuts exactly the same size, weight, and shape so I could carve them and plant them for twin beds. Even then, you never knew when you'd plant a Queen Anne chaperobe and have it come up 4 years later as a Louis XIV bookcase. Oh, well, I suppose every business has its risks.
You mean all you had to do, boss, is go out and gather yourself a van load of furniture? All finished and everything?
Yep. Oh, of course, we had to cut off the roof and leaves and give it a swipe of the dust off.
How'd you keep the finish on them in the ground all that time, McGee?
Used to take me a hypo needle and inject 2 drops of Johnson's wax into every walnut.
Oh. It was all walnut, boss?
Yep, all walnut. Well, sir, I'll never forget the time back in 1908 or... No, 1910 or... No, 1908, or was it? No, it was, let's see now. Cutthroat Cammon's peanut stand blew up in 1909. Shortwave Jackson got that there message from Mars in 1908. Well, let's say it was back in 1907.
Well, say, wouldn't it be more fun to pretend it never happened at all, McGee?
Listen, Molly, the boy here is real interested in the furniture trade, ain't you, Bud?
No, sir.
You see, Molly? Too modest to admit it.
Yeah.
Well, sir, Bud, as I says, back in... when did I say it was?
You says 1907, boss.
Oh, yeah. Well, sir, that year we had pretty heavy rains, and I had me a bad crop failure in end tables. I had 40,000 acres planted in end tables, and that there rainy season warped them in growing so much, I had to cut them up and sell them for novelty umbrella handles.
I suppose the year the big wind you raised, winds or chairs. Don't you get it, McGee?
It ain't funny, Molly. But I did notice that in 1906, when we had that there cold winter, the dressers all sprouted extra thick drawers.
McGee!
Well, sir, as I said. Well, sir, Bud.
Excuse me, sir. I got to get them oil grubs down in the storeroom, so...
So you want to hear the rest of the story, eh? Chucks, I don't blame you, Bud. But there ain't much more. I left the farm idle in 1931 when the government asked me to plow under every third acre of upright piano. I hadn't planted any grand pianos for 8 years on account it was hard to get me walnuts the right shape and size. Well, it kind of busted me all up to plow under all them swell Heppeldale and Chip and White pianos. But I had to be patriotic, so I sold out to a truck farmer.
Truck farmer?
Yeah, truck farmer. He's raising truck bodies. He lets the rest of the farm grow up any old way. And they say that some of the tables and chairs I planted are 90 feet high by this time.
And McGee, stop your nonsense and let's get going.
Okay, okay. Next time you're up Washington way, bud, ask about Woodwork McGee, the walnut wizard of Walla Walla. They'll show you the famous Fibber McGee furniture forest that grew up from the stuff that I just abandoned. You'll know the place by them five big forest ranger lookout towers.
Oh, did you plant them lookout towers, too?
Shucks, no. I originally planted them for high chairs for them quintuplets, but they grew too fast for me, so I sold them to the government.
To the quintuplets?
No, the high chairs. See you later, bud.
Tycoons giving you hallelujah with the Johnson Merrymen unloading the lyrics. And if we may say so, you'll go slightly lyrical yourself when you see your car gleam and glisten under a shiny protective coat of Johnson's auto wax. A moment ago, I told you how to clean your car with Johnson's new easy-to-use auto cleaner. Let me tell you now very briefly how you can keep it that way and why you should protect the finish of your car with Johnson's new auto wax. Wax, you know, gives the finish a hard, protective coat that keeps off the rain, dirt, and road grime and prevents destruction by the summer sun. An occasional rubbing with a cloth over the wax finish and your car stays gleaming for months. Here's why you'll like Johnson's Auto Wax once you try it. First, it's easier to apply. It saves work. Second, Johnson's Auto Wax gives longer-lasting protection. Third, it saves many car washings. And fourth, it greatly increases trade-in values. Now, dealers in the United States and Canada are now offering a special introductory offer. A regular 40-cent can of black touch-up enamel free with every purchase of Johnson's Auto Wax and Auto Cleaner. A dollar and a half value for only 98 cents. Now, whether you clean and wax your own car or have the job done at a garage or service station, insist upon Johnson's Auto Wax and Cleaner. Don't forget now, dally with the dials next Monday night at this same hour for another half hour of Holcomb and Hotshaw. Remember, Monday the 19th for the 19th night of Nifty Notions and Neat Numbers.
Yes, when folks, next Monday, me and Harpo here will...
The name is Harlow. Comprenez-vous?
Who, me?
I said comprenez-vous.
Oh, Swedish, huh?
That was French.
I know. You talk German, too?
Nine.
Nine?
Nine.
Nine what?
Nine words. Johnson's Auto Cleaner positively will not harm the finish.
McGee, you led with your chin that time.
That's the way with them polo players, always riding you off. I always say.
At this same time, next week then, don't forget, on NBC. And when you think of NBC, think of nice, bright car, which makes you think of Johnson's Auto Wax, which makes you think that possibly, this is Harlow Wilcox speaking, good night. Among the selections heard on our program tonight were Take It Easy from Every Night at 8. This program came to you from our Chicago studio. This is the National Broadcasting Company.